You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the Relationship Engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette
and Jim.
Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions. Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette
and Jim.
Tonight we're going to talk about, are you with your soulmate? Or how do you know if you are with your soulmate or the next relationship you're in, if it will be your soulmate?
Or how you can find your soulmate.
How you can find your soulmate. The book 90 Day Soulmate is a guide to finding your soulmate. If we use the word soulmate a lot, it's because we're soulmates.
Yeah.
We can't do that on the air. We're on the air, live.
Cut.
No, we're not going to cut. The point of this is that there's a series of questions you should ask yourself, you should ask your partner, things you should know that help you determine if you're going to be compatible, continue to be compatible, and grow together as a couple. Mm-hmm. Or as we kind of, I was joking with Lisette at dinner tonight, I said, we're the same person.
Sometimes we're so different.
But what was the thing I mentioned at dinner tonight? I said, if you have the same goal, you tend to not argue about things that are happening today. It's when you don't have goals and nothing to work towards that you focus so much on today. But today's like a day without meaning, in a way. What am I doing today? It doesn't matter because I have no goal for tomorrow. But if I have a goal tomorrow with my partner, then what I do today, if it's in support of that goal, then I'm doing something for us and for our relationship. Some of the questions we're going to ask tonight are things you should ask to figure out the goals of your partner and of you in your relationship or in the relationship you're going to have. So we have some good soul-searching questions in the book 90 Day Soulmate. We also have found some therapy marriage counseling questions that we want to incorporate in today's show to talk about the subjects and topics that you may want to approach with your partner or your future partner.
Who knows?
Sound good?
That's good. So what is the first question? Come on, tell me.
Well, let's start. There's different types of subjects. Mm-hmm. So for many people, and depending on age and where you are in a relationship, if you're looking to get into a committed relationship, a lot of couples or individuals want to think about children. Mm-hmm. Do you want to have children? How many children do you want to have? What are the names?
Yeah, no, so this is an interesting question because it's part of, like that you say, the goal. Mm-hmm. It's like thinking in the future, I want to have two or three kids, and I have some partner that say, I don't want a kid. So this is a big issue. You cannot be blind to see next step with somebody that want to have kids.
And something you don't want to do. I'll be right back. Lisette, it's really good to meet you. Thank you for going on this date with me. Hey, do you want to have kids?
Yes, of course.
Oh, no, you don't ask, are you want to have kids on the first date? You might discuss, like, your family. How soon should it be when you start talking about kids in a relationship? Day one? No, but as you have a casual conversation, you can always say, you know, I come from a big family. How about you? I come from a small family. In the future, someday, you know what? I'd like to have a family. Oh, I want to stay by myself, single, for the rest of my life. Well,
what are you here?
Sorry, I must go back to the car now.
We are the wrong meeting.
So, even though children are a very important part of a relationship for those who want to have children, it is a very important part. And there are many sitcoms, TV, comedy programs that revolve around having children, not having children, wanting children. We've seen many episodes like that where, you know, one character wants children, the other doesn't, and that becomes a big controversy for the show. And they make it into a comedic episode, of course, but there are a lot of times where it's very serious.
Yeah, no. So I see some shows when the woman say, okay, we don't want a kid, and I protect myself, but unfortunately, I forget take my pill, and accidentally I'm pregnant.
I accidentally.
Yeah, so this is something that you need to watch out, because it's after she believed, maybe when the baby born, he changed the mind.
This is not
true way to do that.
And it's when you talk about that accidentally, there's a question that goes around Facebook, Instagram, whatever. If a man accidentally gets a woman pregnant, what should he do? And then it's you're like, what do you mean accidentally gets a woman pregnant? It was like they were walking together, both fell down the stairs, and then, oops, she got pregnant.
I did that.
On purpose?
No, accidentally.
Accidentally. So another question would be is, so as you get into the discussion, say a few dates into the relationship, maybe it's getting a little bit more serious, and now you start having these serious questions is, okay, so we want to have children, but we both have good jobs. Mm-hmm. So are you going to stay home with the kids?
No, I have to work. How about you?
I think we build a big fence.
Okay.
Yeah.
With the dog and the kids.
Free range children. Just have them run around the yard, feed them a little bit when you come home. No, the point is that those are conversations that can get into even more complex subjects, which would be money. So let's talk about money a little bit, jobs mm-hmm. and money.
Okay, so what is the analysis you have to have about money in the relationship?
Is money power?
Some people believe if I make more money, I have more power in the relationship.
So, and I heard this the other day, mm-hmm. two people are in a relationship. They both work 40, 50 hours a week. They go to the office, they come back. They have similar hours, similar amount of effort through the week. But the woman makes $120,000 a year, and the man makes $65,000 a year. So the woman thinks, since she supports the household more with the amount of income she's making, that the man should do more work around the house. You know, make sure the house is clean.
Clean the dishes.
Dishes, cooking. Laundry. And you can see in some relationships the reverse of that. Is money power?
The people believe is that. Mm. And then this is a create the issue, because maybe the man say, why, if we work the same time, mm-hmm. hours, why we need to, I need to work more hard.
Right. And
the person.
And if you don't want to chip in, since we may have a little bit of excess money, maybe because you earn so much more than me, mm-hmm. maybe 2 hours a week we can have someone come in here and help us.
Yeah.
Help us spend our money. No, help us clean the house, do the dishes, something.
And have more quality time together versus start angry to do clean home that people don't like, and then start to destroy your own relationship.
So let's get back to, like, I know the interplay between children and money, but...
And cut the yard, you remember.
Cut the grass in the yard. Yeah. Yes, yes. Well, that's why you have goats. You have goats. They take care of the grass. You don't have to worry about anything. But there's another one, which is we have children are such a responsibility.
Yeah.
So now that we have children, how do we want to raise them? How do we want to parent them? Do we want to be just loving, everything's okay, everything's accepted, or we follow these strict rules? What could be one thing that we, how do we raise our children with a set of values? How do we do that?
I guess the first step, the two couple has to agree and have the same value when you talk with your child, because the child found that you go to one way and I go to different way. They feel like, this is two different species, two different rules, so start to become no strong teaching value to your child.
So do you think sometimes a couple will choose one of the couple's religion or beliefs and say, let's go here and let's take our family here, and we'll agree to this set of beliefs to instill that set of beliefs in our children, so we all have common beliefs. Though it's a belief system. Mm-hmm. We follow that. So is religion or some kind of spiritual practice, even if it's personal, is it important for the couple to agree on that?
Yeah, of course.
And we're saying couple now. It could be 2, 3, 4, 5. No, we're joking about that. But the today's couples are so mixed from religion standpoint, where they come from, cultural, ethnicity.
And also sexual, you know.
The main thing is for people to be compatible and agreeable with each other's decisions. So if you agree up front on the goals, you don't disagree on the daily things you do, because all the daily things you do are in keeping with the goals, or at least they should be. Mm-hmm. And I think we talked about that before.
Yeah, and also respect the belief other, because this is other part. I can't force you believe the same that I believe. I respect your belief and you respect mine.
So it's a, what is that called? A compromise or commitment? I guess I commit to respecting your beliefs. I don't have to compromise mine to respect yours.
Yeah.
So I commit to respect. Mm-hmm. One of the things, we talked about this as well. We watched the show that was on, I'm not sure what TV channel it was, but it was something called like Love is Blind, which was an experiment where these people got to meet voices through a wall where they didn't get to see each other and they had to fall in love. And for one person in particular, religion was very important for them. But at the same time, people, you can see sometimes people can use religion as a reason to not have or have a relationship, where it just seems to be being used. You know the word straw man? It's not the real reason, but they just use it as an excuse. A couple of shows ago, we were talking about breakup excuses, where people want people clearly to say, you know, what the reason was. And if I am not compatible with you because I just don't find you attractive, is it easier for me to say my religion doesn't match yours, so I need my religion in my, you know, in my family, and so I don't want to see you? Or should I say I'm just not finding a deeper connection with you? I like you, but I'm not finding a deeper connection with you. But sometimes people use things that aren't true as breakup reasons. And so why I referenced the show was, it seemed like in the show there was this weird, strange, always interplay between people. And I think half of it was they just wanted to be on TV.
Sometimes it's like that.
How to stay on the show.
Mm-hmm. Like us.
Like us on 90 Day Soulmate.
With Lisette.
And Jim. Anyway, we will be right back after this important set of messages with more on things you consider to find your soulmate or know if you are with your soulmate. Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions. Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
And tonight we're talking about questions you should be asking yourself and your partner to understand if you are soulmates, or if you have the same goals, to determine if you could be soulmates.
Or how, if you don't have soulmate, how you make an inventory who you are, what are you looking for in the next relationship?
So in our book, 90 Day Soulmate, we talk about that people are just souls looking for other souls to be compatible with. And when they're compatible with and communicate well with that soul, that can be a soulmate. Is there necessarily one soulmate, or could there be a couple of soulmates and it's a matter of compatibility?
Yeah.
I would find it very hard for there only to be one soulmate with 7 billion people on the planet.
It's difficult
to find.
And also now with social media, we can find more than one.
Yeah, we can find at least, well, one. We can find one soulmate. I have all these people writing to me, I'm your soulmate. I'm like, no, you're not. Here's my soulmate.
Make a check.
Make a checklist. Do your checklist, send it to me, and we'll see if we're compatible. So What's another question you should be asking and discussing with your partner? And we'll talk about work-related questions.
Yeah, so some couple believe what is important in my life, because sometimes people believe is I have relationship maybe impact my career.
Right.
I cannot be successful because I have to invest time in relationship.
Okay.
And this is made me not use the time for my own career. For me, the career is so important.
So how much time, it's that work-life balance thing, right? How much work mm-hmm. versus how much life? How much of your work can include your life? Like Lizette and I like to travel together. Sometimes when she's working somewhere, she'll say, hey, Jim, want to come with me? And other times I'll be going somewhere and say, hey, Lizette, want to come with me? And we'll add another week on here or there. And we do have the luxury sometimes of being lucky in that way. Mm-hmm. And by luck, we mean have put in a lot of hard work over the years to be able to do that today.
Sometimes you are in one place, I am in another.
A lot of times. A lot of times that happens too.
Yeah.
But it's a choice, because at any point in time we could say, we're not going to do that anymore. We're not going to travel anymore. We're just going to both stay home all the time.
And make a show every day.
Every day. 365 shows of
90 Days Soulmate.
90 Days Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
In any case, so let's talk about career. Uh-huh. So one of it was that we were talking about the work-life balance.
Mm-hmm.
How much work versus how much home life versus family, friends, all that. But another is career.
Mm-hmm.
What do you imagine for your career? What does your partner imagine for their career? Because for me, I traveled, I moved around the country many, many times in pursuit of, and I wouldn't even say a career, it was just the next job, the next offer. You know, as a salesperson offered a technical sales position at another company at an increase of pay and a different wonderful city I've never been to. Okay, I'm taking it. And then you start having these what are career moves, because you're moving up, but you're moving to city, to state, in different areas, and that truly affects home life, it affects family, it affects how you can spend time uprooting your family, moving from one spot to another, and the positive or negative impact that travel has.
Yeah, no, so I can say for my own, you know, so in the past before I met you, I have my company and I have to move or travel a lot, and sometimes I found some potential soulmate and I say no. He lives in another state, he lives in another country.
Yeah.
We cannot have a good relationship because my business, my company is more important. So also when I met you, you know, you moved to the other state.
And I did.
And for me, it was really hard to move and then say, okay, let me try this time.
Mm-hmm. Your friends told me to challenge you and move away and see if I could get you to come with me. No, they didn't say that. but her friends encouraged her to figure out what was important in her life.
Yeah.
And was it following her career path that had led her to staying single?
Mm-hmm.
Or to potentially follow some crazy guy who is moving from the state she just met him in to another state.
Yeah, but something they learn is because in my mind before that, I believe that your career stop if you move and follow your soulmate or the person that you love.
Yes.
And then I say, why I can move the business with him?
Mm.
Why I think in the business is something separate. So my mind change and I start to do a different way my business. And also right now with all remote stuff and after COVID, the people working online, understand that you don't have to be in one location for be successful.
So let me ask you a question. When you moved with me from Texas to Alabama, do you remember if I did or did not support you in your business when you moved to Alabama?
You support me a lot.
Okay.
And I feel comfortable with that.
So, for instance, is Lizette consults, and she consults on her own. So she's not working for a company. She's working as an independent consultant through various companies where she'll work with different companies and audit them for quality quality management systems, environmental safety, information, safety, yeah, other things. In Alabama, she had the opportunity to make a presentation to the state of Alabama.
Yeah.
And I helped.
Yeah, to prepare the presentation and be my partner to introduce me in this meeting. I remember that.
Why do I bring that up? I bring that up because if you discuss your career and what you want and how you want to do it, your partner, if they support you, may actually be able to help you mm-hmm. in that way.
I know feel sometimes the people feel like, I don't want to be competition or something like that. So when you are really confident with yourself, you support your partner without any kind of jealousy, if that means.
Jealousy?
Jealousy, yeah.
Yeah, envy, or maybe being envious of their situation. Yeah. Let's talk about career, though, because career mm-hmm. sometimes, for instance, let's say I graduate from college and I start a job, or I start a job right out of high school, and in a couple of years I have the opportunity to go from a frontline employee to mid-level manager. But that requires me to go from 40 hours a week to 50 to 55 hours a week. So my career, now I want to advance in my career, but suddenly my 40 hours away from home becomes 50 to 55 hours away from home.
Mm-hmm.
What happens then? How does that career move impact the relationship?
And also how your partner agreed to waiting for you. Maybe it's late in the day, every day, or sometime in the week.
The weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And if you remember when we met, I was working 6 days a week. And so working 6 days a week, having one day off, was a big change from working 5 days a week.
Yeah.
And in recent years where there's been a little bit of work at home mm-hmm. and weekends and a little bit more travel and a little extended weekends, there's a huge difference between a couple of days off versus one day off.
Yeah.
And it's a huge difference in how we get to relate to each other and with each other. Having an agreement up ahead of time, or at least a discussion of, if these opportunities come, these are the paths I would like to go down, having a discussion on career and on the path.
And also in the economy of the house, because if
how that could impact it.
You
yes.
cannot be like, you cannot work Saturday, but if you know enough money to pay the mortgage, to pay the food, so you have to thinking in the economy.
That is absolutely right. And I want to continue on with some of the questions we have here. Let's see. Oh, that we just talked about how many hours a week. Can we support each other? The other was, my career's advancing. I'm going to spend less hours a week at home. Mm-hmm. How are we going to take care of the children? Who's going to get them to violin practice?
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to pick them up from school?
Yeah.
Soccer.
Yeah.
Foosball. We just played some foosball. So that's the career side of things. And I think a lot of people, those are actually maybe a little bit easier questions than some.
Yeah, but sometimes the people is like the workaholic and then feel more relaxing, spend time work versus coming home. And this is impacting.
I can't wait to get back to work.
Yeah.
And if you find that you're in that situation where you can't wait to get back to work, then maybe you're in not that good of a relationship.
Yeah.
So here is sometimes the most difficult of sets of questions to ask, but it's almost always the reason why people actually get into a relationship in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Sex-related questions.
Okay, go ahead.
So, what makes you feel loved?
Wow, so many ways, but one is feel together, touching, have intimacy,
intimate time,
yeah,
quiet time together.
Mm-hmm.
Feeling, how about feeling supported?
Yeah, that is one.
But this is specifically sex. How much sex do you like to have a week?
8 days
a week. You and the Beatles. 8 days a week. The questions of, you know, do you enjoy, do you not enjoy, are there certain things you want to do in your life together in a sexual way Have you communicated with your partner? Do you feel embarrassed or do you not feel embarrassed? Because you can talk about anything and whether or not the person wants to do or doesn't want to do what you're talking about, at least you can talk about it. But if you're embarrassed to say something because they make you feel bad, that's tough.
Yeah. So have a transparency and relaxing. Talking sexual topic open is a bit different, yeah.
And try not to be all upset at each other when you start having that conversation. Any of these conversations have to be started when you are not having an argument.
Yeah.
But when you're having a open communication.
And also some people using like the sarcastic comment to deliver one message. So I see some couple that it's difficult to talk, like that you say, relaxing and the good moment to say, hey, you know what? I don't like that you talking in my ear when we have sex. I want no noise. And then don't say that and using like the common situation in the house and delivery sarcastic, no, because you're talking more than you have sex. And then this is make a lot of broken the feeling for boss, because why you not deliver it in good way?
Exactly, because then you make the person angry. They're angry about sex. They're angry about talking about sex.
So the other person said, you know what? But we don't have more sex. How about that?
What?
And then, yeah.
Are you really? For what?
For now.
Oh, for now.
Okay.
For the moment. An interesting question that's in this marital therapy counseling marriage questionnaire is, are we going to be monogamous?
What is that?
Monogamous.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mahogany. You've heard of mahogany. It's a wood.
The five wife? You have wife. Already five wife.
Oops. So going back to monogamy. So I can't actually imagine that this is a question today, but I guess for some people in the beginning of a relationship, not, or maybe even during a relationship, is it going to be just the two of you for now and forever? Or is it, you know what, we really get along, we love each other, but go ahead, go out with somebody you just met. I'll go out with somebody. I it's hard for me to even talk about that, but it's if that's your relationship, you need to talk about it. Because maybe you think it's okay and the other person doesn't, or the other way around. They think, oh, I'm not cheating because I just told her that I'm going out with this other person, so I'm not cheating because I told her. But maybe she doesn't want you to go out with the other person.
Yeah.
And be monogamous. So that's a question that was on here that I thought was kind of interesting. Another one that comes up is, how often do you want to go out with your friends?
Maybe one per week.
And how often do you want your friends to visit?
The same, one per week.
Are they going to stay with us when they come visit?
Maybe.
And for how long?
All weekend, 3 days.
You know what? I want to have rest and relaxation on the weekend, and I don't want you and your friends chatting up a storm all weekend long when I'm trying to... you should have the conversation. So when Lizette does have her friends here, and they chat and chat and chat, but it's one time every 6 months, go ahead. Or if she has somebody over, if I have someone over, we have somebody over, and we understand that, you know, us being social, Lizette being social, me being social, that there's a limitation and an acceptance to what we each do. But it has to be discussed.
Yeah. And I see you're more happy than me when my friend is coming.
I don't want them here. And then as soon as they're here, I just have so much fun.
Yeah, I saw.
Yeah. So, family.
Mm-hmm.
How close we are to and want to be to family. Do we want them knowing all our business? You know, how can you tell your mom all about what's going on in our life?
Mm-hmm.
Why did you tell her what we did last weekend when we went to the orchard, when we were picking apples? That was a private conversation we had and you told her.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, how much do you share with your family? And is the other person accepting of how close you are with your family and how close you are with your friends? What personal, intimate information do you share? Do you share your financial information with your family? Don't tell your mom, I just got a new job. Please. Because then she's going to bring it up. And she's going to say, oh, she's going to ask me a lot of questions. I don't want questions. You know, so.
Yes, depends on the mama.
Depends on the mama. And how important is it for you to maintain relationships and friendships outside of our partnership?
Outside?
Meaning, you know, you belong to Rotary. You belong to the Women's Council of New Jersey. You belong to the Young Entrepreneurs Society of America. Each of these groups, they meet once a week in a restaurant somewhere and have meetings. And you like doing this, and you're never
the
home.
The condominium and
yes,
the,
I know,
and
the I
week.
Know. But, and the question is, these things that you're involved in, which ones are important?
Mm-hmm.
Important to you personally, important to you as a couple?
Okay.
And
again,
discuss that.
It's a balance. It's a balance. So how much time you want to invest in your own stuff versus do the better. It's a negotiation. I always believe in if you establish day, weekend, and days in the day, what day is with me, what day with the association, everybody's happy.
Okay. So I just read this next one wrong. So I'm going to read the wrong one first. Vaccinations. It's actually vacations. But since we're on the subject of vaccinations, what science do you believe in? What health do you believe in? We talked about this in the past too, is politics, beliefs, your belief systems. If you agree to respect somebody else's religious beliefs or personal beliefs, then some of these other things you need to respect too. So even though I misread vacations, it is equally important that if somebody has a feeling and a belief on something, that you listen to them and you listen to why. And if you want to logically have a conversation as why you think that they may have a different way of looking at something and they may want to consider an alternative view, then you should have that discussion. But a lot of these personal beliefs are what people truly believe. And you would believe exactly what they believed if you grew up exactly like them. People believe what they believe because they've learned things their entire life that have brought them to that moment. They're not just making something up to seem like they're crazy. They're bringing up what they believe because that's what they've been led to believe. And it may be true, it may not be true. And
something important is because some people, if you are Republican or you are the other polity or other religion, you label people. So if you are Republican, you have 1, 2, 3, 4 characteristics that all Republicans have or all Democrats have. So no label people. So you can have some belief mixing, but the reason that you are Catholic or you are methodology or whatever is your religion or your polity belief is not labeled your personality. So this is something that a lot of people start to label and then you blocking more like the softness of the relationship.
So we don't talk much about this, but I'll leave it this two thoughts here. Is that many years ago I got to travel, I still do, I get to travel worldwide. And one time I had a conference in Finland and was sitting at a table with people from around the world, people from Russia, from Lithuania, from Mexico, from Finland, just all different, from France. And we're all talking and we're having some wine and some drinks and some Coca-Cola. And we just start talking as people. And everyone gets along with each other, even though we have these vastly different cultures, political views, systems of government. We all actually enjoy being with each other. You compare that to what politics are doing to people, And the way they get people to vote is by being extreme on emotional subjects
that, and separate
people. And try to get people to go out and vote for them.
Yeah.
So they don't want to bring people together. No matter how much they say, I walk across the aisle and I bring people together and I form coalitions, they don't want to do that when they're running for office or when they're trying to get support. Because those people who aren't moved emotionally by a subject don't vote. Why do we bring that up? Because most people, when they think and have time to be with a fellow human being, most people like being with other people.
Yeah. And also you start to support somebody that don't have idea who you are.
Mm.
And then you destroy your own life or your family, because I see people in the family that they're fighting each other for politics or religion stuff. So they say, how you support some strange politics and you fight with your sister or your brother or your cousin because have a different belief. It's crazy.
So you know what the first rule of Facebook is? No one talks about Facebook. I'm sorry, Fight Club. I'm sorry, I got the two things mixed up again.
Okay, what is the other question? Or maybe we have a...
No, we still got some time here. Yeah. And we've got lots of questions left. So vacation. So Actually we were talking about vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Vacation, holidays. Oh, these things can become extremely difficult sometimes, important, because what happens at holiday? Do you want to, which holidays are we going to celebrate? Where are we going to celebrate them?
Yeah, this Christmas
with whom?
Is my family and the other Christmas your family.
And not only it's that, because these things are really important, because family time's really important, but now you've just brought in family into a holiday, and maybe a happy holiday and family don't actually mix because they're, you know, Does Lizette spend too much time? I keep saying this, but it's meaningless. Does
I don't have family here, by the way.
But you know what I'm saying is that, yes, we have to visit with family. And for some people, that's the most happy time of the year, being able to spend time with your family, loving family, having wonderful conversations, and seeing them for the very few times we get to see them. For other people, seeing family, because they feel like they're forced to do it, is the most stressful time of year.
Yeah.
So you go to your holiday, and then when you come back from your holiday, you need a vacation.
Yeah.
I've heard so many people say that.
No. So I remember my first husband, and he liked to spend Christmas with his family.
Okay.
And the family is in other states, so... I say 1 year there, 1 year here. So the first year, and he say no, the second year is with my family again. Because we not see the family. So, and then one moment he traveled and passed Christmas with his family, and I stay Christmas with my family. So that, I guess this is not a smart move, but
yeah, important holidays that are supposed to be tremendous for your family.
Yeah.
You're spending apart. So is that what you want to do? So vacations and holidays is something very important to talk about. Understand family nuances. Understand the goals for the future.
Yeah.
You know, is the goal for the future to win over your partner's family?
Mm-hmm. It's best upon that maybe you don't have a good relationship with the other family.
Right.
If you love your partner, you try to become and support
your partner.
Yeah.
Eat a lot of turkey. Fall asleep.
Yeah, not talk a lot.
Don't talk.
Quiet.
No politics.
No religion.
No religion. So, I like this one. And we're going to talk more about this one and others when we come back on 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
In a moment. Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions. Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
And tonight we're talking about questions you should be asking yourself and your partner, or yourself, if you're not in a relationship, to find your soulmate. Some of the types of questions are in the book, 90 Day Soulmate, which help you figure out what you want and where you want to be in your relationship or in a new relationship, to see and make sure that that person that you're with or going to meet matches you and fits your criteria for a soulmate.
Mm-hmm.
So with a soulmate, would you think that you'd have open and clean communication, clear communication?
Of course, you have to.
You have to. Mm-hmm. So, if the different things that we talk about in this book, and we talked about on this show politics, we talked about family, we talked about career and money, children and different things. If all these things are parts of a puzzle, mm-hmm. when we have a puzzle that fits very nicely with another puzzle, there's open and clear communication between the two people. So one of the reasons why we say to go through these types of questions is to figure out who you are and who fits with you, and help you figure out if your partner fits or how to fit better. Because the better you fit, the easier it is to have communication. It's much easier to have communication with somebody who speaks your language, has your level of education and use of words.
And we speak different language.
We speak love, baby.
Okay.
Somebody who thinks deeply like you, has deep feeling like you, who has similar goals as you, is that the tighter you are together in many of these areas, the more seamlessly conversations are, and easier it is to talk about those small little areas that maybe you have disagreement in or you just don't know about. So that's why it's so important to understand how you fit together. How about moving? Where do you want to live? Where do you want to go next?
Spain.
You want to go to Spain?
Yeah.
We have the opportunity to go to Spain, so I think we're going to go to Spain. Where else would you like to go? Greece. We'd like to go to Greece. So where do you want a vacation? Do you want a vacation together in these areas? I want to go to Ireland. Oh, I don't want to go there. I want to go to Argentina.
Texas.
New York.
California.
Hershey. You have these places, and the point is having goals of, well, one is some of these are, quote, vacations, but others are, where do you want to live 10 years from now? Where do you want to be? Do you want to still be in this house?
I don't know yet.
You don't know yet. Do you want to still be in this studio having this show, 90 Day Soulmate?
Sure.
We'll call it 9,000 Day Soulmate. Now, the idea of 90 Day Soulmate is that once you do put this list together, that's in the book, of what you want in your relationship, that if you don't have a relationship in 90 days, you can find somebody who matches. And the point is, matches you, doesn't match me, doesn't match Lizette, unless, of course, it's Lizette who's matching me. The idea is to be able to determine quickly and easily somebody who fits, that you'll have that open and clear communication with. It also helps you develop your relationship that you have right now by understanding that person you are with much better, to open up that clear communication and allow your souls to mesh.
Integrate.
Integrated souls become souls mate. Right? Mating souls.
Yeah.
I remember you and me in what was it? Lake Como.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
we integrate a lot there. With a lot of wine.
A lot of wine, yeah. Walking in the rain, the beautiful George Clooney waving to us. It was a very nice time. So moving, where do you want to move? So having those discussions, where do you want to retire? Do we want to retire now? We talked about, we want to travel now. Why? While we can. Travel, enjoy now while we can. We don't want to say, when we're 70, we're going to go travel, because who knows? Maybe we won't be able to walk around.
Yeah, more difficult.
But with our flying motor cars, we'll be able to go anywhere.
Exactly.
How about conflict resolution and decision-making questions? If we do have a conflict, what do?
Running away.
No, really. So if we have a conflict, do we address it then? Or do we say, okay, we're having a conflict. Everyone take a few minutes. Let's get back together in 30 minutes when we both calm down and talk about it. Mm-hmm. A lot of times people, when they get into a conflict, they get so heated, they keep having the argument. And then they're so angry, they continue to have the argument rather than come to a resolution.
And also we can share our original trick when you make a son ironic comment,
yes,
and the beginning, I don't get it really. So he say, hey, because English is my second language, if you got it when I talk. And I say, hey, you say that again. I don't got it. What did you say? And then what happened?
So let's be very clear on this, mm-hmm, is that Lizette and I, when we first met, periodically I would say something. I'll use the word rather than ironic, something stupid, some off-the-cuff remark, something that could be taken the wrong way. Maybe I thought was funny, and maybe it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of Lizette getting really upset right away, we used the excuse of having different languages as, maybe I misunderstood what you said. And by saying, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't understand what you said, I would think, oh, did I say something, mm-hmm, that I shouldn't have said? I would think about what I said, and then I would, 99% of the time, rephrase it in a way that was loving rather than potentially making fun, poking, or hurtful.
Ironic comment.
Ironic.
Yeah. So this is
sarcastic.
Yeah. So this is something that I explained to so many friends, and they use it right now. So the one of the side of the person thinking the other is attack and say, hey, I don't understand what you say. So say it again. Explain me more. Why you say this phrase?
Actually, this is a great, like, for any time somebody, this is a great way to respond to anybody, mm-hmm, who attacks you, is instead of becoming responsive and reactive, you just say, I'm sorry, I don't understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes all the power of their attack away, because now they're really confused as, I just attacked you and you're not responding. Now what do? I either attack you again, and if you keep not responding, then I'm done. Or if they actually like you and they realize they said something
and
bad.
I use that in my work, you know. Mm. So for auditors, the people don't like auditors. So when I feel the other side is a little attacking, I say, okay, I'm sorry. You can explain me again what did you say, because I don't understand. And in good way, without any ironic, any sarcastic tone. And the people feel like, wow.
Yeah.
Calm down, and maybe you soft the relationship, you know, increase the heat in the conversation.
So we talked a couple of weeks ago about when you are in love, how chemicals in your brain, or I'll use the word in lust, when you are in that initial stage of being in love, chemicals in your brain actually shut down your frontal cortex. It stops you from being able to logically think about things, and you act more emotionally.
Yeah.
When you are angry, if you've ever noticed, your choice of words, your ability to choose the correct words, gets diminished. The more emotional we are, we shut off parts of our brain, because other parts of our brain are so heavily triggered that we can't communicate as well as we'd like. So when we're acting in an emotion, we don't have full communication. We can't actually be fully ourselves when emotion takes over us. So if you want to fully integrate yourself with another human being, you need to relax from that heightened emotional state. Of course, unless it's love, because we can only say the most wonderful things when we're in love to each other. I think we hit a whole bunch of things here today.
Yeah, many, many, many questions. Also in our book, we have a 40 item that we create, but you can create your own 40-item, who you are, what are you looking for in your relationship.
Who you are, what you're looking for in your relationship, and ideas that would make your perfect match. And when you have those ideas, and you discuss questions like we discussed tonight, and when you figure those things out, it makes the communication with your partner or your new partner so much easier and better, so you can find your soulmate. That's it. Thank you for watching 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
Have yourself a great week.
Bye.
90 Day Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lizette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.